morning.
Good morning. Oh, yeah, like it's morning.
It is.
Like morning.
It's getting warmer all the time, man.
There's
blossoms out.
Yeah.
There's blossoms out. The birds are singing. The sun is shining, and you need to give us money. You need to give us money. So, you know, 231-8187 is the number to call if you'd like to call and speak to us today. My name's
Abe. Okay, I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, a cable moment.
Momentary
gap. All right, here
there.
We are. Ooh, money.
If you
want
to give us money, we're going to cut right to the chase here. 503-232-8818. If you're in Portland, 1-877-500-KBOO. If you're outside the area.
We're talking about the question of what's coming up in Congress, which is truly vicious legislation, which I'm sure we both agree about.
Yeah, that the Senate is backing away from.
I noticed that. Well, fortunately, in this case, they're cowards. But also, the Bush Doctrine, which seems so kind, is itself a vicious bit of legislation. So we're talking about the immigration issue. Later on, if we have time, I'll talk a little bit about what Greg Palast has to say about the war in Iraq. And meanwhile, we'll try to set him up for next week or something. But anyway, let's talk about this immigration thing.
What I find particularly interesting about it is that it exposes a deep divide amongst conservatives, amongst the Republican Party, that has previously been obscured by the somewhat monolithic obedience to the brave leader that we've seen amongst the Republicans. So, and that is that you have those racist nationalist Republicans who are anti-immigration for a lot of ugly reasons.
Yeah.
And then you have the corporatist Republicans who are pro-immigration for a lot of ugly reasons.
Exactly.
And
so we're not going to disagree much.
Yeah, and never shall the twain meet in the Republican Party, really. There's the racist anti-immigration folks are... nationalists,
mm-hmm.
Probably harbor some, well, I'm generalizing here, may harbor some notions.
Are you
notions.
Generalizing
yes.
here?
May
here
har-
on KBOO?
Yes,
unbelievable. 231-8187 is the number to call, by the way.
May have harbor some notions about not wanting any more brown people here, period.
Yes. Talk a foreign language.
Yeah, talk foreign language. Yeah. As they're epitomized by this guy on right-wing talk radio named Michael Savage. And if you ever heard this guy, he is the most hateful man I think I've ever heard in my life. And his mantra is borders, language, and culture. And he rails
borders,
against...
Borders, language, and
yes,
culture.
Yes, and he says these are the things that are under assault because of liberal doctrine.
So essentially, he would like to restore the Iron Curtain only here.
Exactly.
I got it.
Preserve this for English-speaking Anglos.
Well, but when everybody came here, most of them didn't speak English.
Yeah, well, that fact is lost on Mr. Savage.
Oh, okay.
But that, I think, typifies, and agreed in an overly generalized way, the racist anti-immigrant forces on the right. Now, the other side is the pro...
Well, what's the culture thing, though? I'm not even get the culture thing.
The culture is traditional...
Like Christmas trees and not creches?
Christmas trees, Protestant Christianity...
No posada?
White folks,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hymns and not spirituals. You know what I'm saying?
Hymns and not spirituals. That's a very good distinction.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now, the corporatist anti-immigrant forces on the right are all about the folks who realize that, they can hire these people for not very much money and they don't have to give them anything in the way of benefits.
Exactly. And break any union that resists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then outside of these two camps on the right, you have the larger populace that, whether or not they think about it every day, enjoy food that's a whole lot cheaper because it is harvested by folks who aren't paid very much.
Well, in fact,
or given any benefits.
One of my great goals in life is to be wealthy enough to hire two Mexicans.
Really?
Permanently.
Oh.
Yeah, and not have to pay, you know, kind of just under the table. You know, hire them right out here. We see them desperately out here.
Yeah, looking for work. The corner
looking
of Ankeny and...
Don't tell anyone, they'll hire him.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, bad.
I look for a different goal if I were you, Joe.
You think that's kind of a reactionary goal on my part?
I do.
I do, too. But I thought I'd say it because I thought it was funny at the time. Now I don't.
So this is the rift exposed amongst the Republicans. The bill that came out of the House was pretty punitive, pretty judgmental.
Oh, ugly, vicious.
Yes, and very much slanted towards the racist anti-immigrant
faction. And expensive to the taxpayer. They wanted to build a 700-mile iron curtain.
Yeah,
Let's call it an iron curtain from now on.
Let's call it an iron curtain.
It's an iron curtain.
Now, there is a bunch of wall that already exists.
I know.
Along the California border.
I know, I've seen it. It's ugly. It's not really that effective, by the way.
It brings to mind the Maginot Line. You remember the Maginot Line?
Exactly. Well, that was imaginative more than this is.
This big wall the French built between themselves and the Germans.
the Germans just went around it.
And essentially, that's what immigrants are doing, too. Well, the fence in our way. Well, let's go around the fence.
Well, in fact, it's giving a lot of people from south of the border the opportunity to learn how to scale walls. They have fence scaling equipment. This is true. I'm not making this up. So, you know, they're not stupid. Want to come to this country? Well, not stupid. It's really interesting. I wanted to cut into one other aspect of this law, which you probably were going to cover, but since I'm on a roll and I'm about to pass out, I'll do it. Which is that they essentially, in this punitive measure, would make it not only a jailing crime to be in the United States illegally, but they would also make it a jailing crime to help anyone who's in the United States illegally. Now, what that means is churches, synagogues, temples, charitable organizations that are non-denominational or non-religious, just you or I as hirers, or just you and I as helper-outers, including the people who go down to the desert and provide water for people who might otherwise die and stuff like that. All of those would be also jailable offenses. So what they really want to do is create an environment where it's just like, it's amazing. It's just like going from West Germany to East Germany in 1970 or something. It's like they'll have mirrors under your car. They'll bust you and they'll put you in jail for helping people who are desperately trying to figure out a way to support families on the other side of the border.
Yeah, that's absolutely what.
It's real. I mean, it's real. So, all right, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, that's quite all right.
You were trying to be logical, and I'm.
Now, what the Senate Judiciary Committee essentially voted for yesterday was to legalize the 11 million people who are here. They estimated 11 million people.
Yeah, after a long time, though.
Provided that they hold jobs, mm-hmm. pass criminal background checks, learn English, and pay any existing fines and back taxes. So this is a.
How could they put, if they were on these low ages, how the hell are they going to pay fines and back taxes?
I'm wondering why they even owe taxes.
And are they going to provide, since we don't have a monolingual school system in most places, how the hell, I guess it'll be an immersion experience.
I guess.
That works.
I guess so.
That's a fast way to learn a language.
Essentially, this provides, in the language of the politicians, a road or a path towards citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
But these loopholes look pretty big to me. Criminal background checks, holding a job, learning English.
Let's get to the criminal background check. Is there an Interpol with Mexico and El Salvador and Guatemala and so on that would be a reliable thing?
I don't know. That's really hasn't been detailed yet.
And if they're here 11 years, who gives a damn what they did 11 years ago unless it was murder, rape, or armed robbery, actually?
Right.
Excuse me? And they've not come into the criminal justice system? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, so it would appear, although this bill appears to be altruistic, that the means are still there to forcefully deport people if we want to do it.
This is the Kennedy-McCain bill.
This is the Kennedy-McCain bill.
Right.
What the president is in favor of is the establishment of some sort of guest worker program, which, in my opinion, is the most pernicious thing to come down the pike in a long time, because it would essentially legitimize conditions that approximate slavery and would legitimize a very, very unequal worker-employee situation.
And, of course, incidentally, would bust all the building trades unions.
Yeah, it would.
And would break up a lot of other jobs that have a reasonable wage and would make Walmart perfectly cool with hiring any number of Hispanics at any price.
Right. And what this would do, it would be to enfranchise and legitimize the current unequal situation that exists.
I just wanted to correct myself here. I'm a little stoned.
Okay.
I think we'll go with Latino.
Latino?
Latino.
Okay.
Avoid Hispanic. It's
okay.
Kind of like, you know, what is that? Latino.
Latino.
And Latina, mm-hmm. I guess.
So 231-8187 is the number to call if you want to comment on this issue. We're also going to talk about the article in the New York Times that appeared yesterday about the meeting between Tony Blair and George Bush, in which they talked amongst themselves saying, we're going to invade Iraq, whether or not we find a reason to do so.
And we also have this piece by Greg Palast, I hope we get to it, which actually argues quite seriously that the mission was accomplished in Iraq because it turned all the oil in Iraq over to OPEC, essentially, if it ever comes out of the ground. And we don't really care if it comes out of the ground, because our goal, that is Bush's and Cheney's, is to kick the price of oil up, ever up.
Yeah.
And screw anybody who's in the way.
Yeah, exactly.
These are the numbers to call.
Lo and behold, it's been going ever up.
Up, yeah. Well, yeah. Big surprise. Yeah. Do you notice how it went up for no apparent reason Wait, there was a reason. There was a little oil spill, which tells us they ought not to be drilling oil in the Anwar. But there was a little oil spill that went undetected, except by the oil companies who raised the price of oil by 50 cents in the last 3 weeks.
My girlfriend has a theory about this.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, she says it's the whole price of gasoline issue is an instance of mob psychology that's being brilliantly orchestrated by the oil companies. She says that they'll raise prices till people squeal, then they'll back prices off, but to a point that was higher than the previous
time. Oh, yeah.
And then a little while later, they'll raise them again till people squeal, then they'll back them off to yet a higher point.
Kind of oil company S&M.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, S&M's fine in the bedroom, but I don't like it on my car. and also, I want to point out that, that in fact, when you look at the price of the profit of the oil companies, I mean, it's just incredible. It's just so obvious. The 34 billion in profits in 2002, after the Operation Iraqi Liberation, as he calls it, that's oil, but it's Operational Iraqi Freedom, they changed that. It was 113 billion in 2005 that the oil companies made. I mean, it's obvious.
Oh, yeah, it's completely
so we got two issues on the table here, folks. We got oil, Earl.
Yep.
Earl, and then we got the immigration issue. And I really would like to spend some time on the immigration issue because I think it's very important. It's something that needs to be dealt with and dealt with in a manner that is fair to everybody. And it's a very complex problem and an interesting one.
The topics on the table today are immigration.
Yes.
Pre-war intelligence.
Yes.
And what do you have there from Greg Palast?
Well, Greg Palast actually wrote a piece, a real blast, which was published in The Guardian, which is, of course, in English. Newspaper,
right?
Not published.
He's forced to report in Great Britain because what he does is too hot.
Well,
for the American press
to handle. It's interesting. They never want him here. Even he's just too straight out.
Yeah.
And he actually claims that, and he's got a bunch of stolen. Well, never mind how he got them. A bunch of documents, 300 and some odd pages of documents that from the government that indicate very clearly that Bush and his co-conspirator Dick Cheney, I'm now quoting him, accomplished exactly what they set out to do. In case you've forgotten what their real mission was, let me remind you of White House spokesman Ari Fleischer's original announcement 3 years ago, launched of what he called Operation Iraqi Liberation.
What's the acronym for that?
Oil.
Oil.
Oil. Oil. And how droll of them, he says. How cute. Then Karl Rove made the giggling boys in the White House change it to OIF. That's Operation Iraqi Freedom.
OIF.
OIF. But the 101st Airborne wasn't sent to Basra to get its hands on Iraqi's oif. I'm just quoting here. It's about oil, Robert Ebel, or is it Ebel, told me, formerly CIA's top analyst. He was sent by the Pentagon about a month before the invasion to a secret confab in London with Saddam's former oil minister to finalize plans for liberating Iraqi's oil industry. In London, Bush's emissary also instructed Abraham Bahar al-Alum, the man the Pentagon would choose as its post-OIF oil minister for Iraq, on the correct method of disposing of Iraqi crude. And what did the USA want? Well, the answer will surprise many of you. And it's uglier and more twisted and devilish and devious than anything imagined by the most conspiracy addicted bloggers amongst you. The answer can be found in a 323-page plan for Iraq's oil, secretly drafted by the State Department. Our team got a hold of a copy. How doesn't matter. The key thing is what's inside this thick Bush diktat, a directive to Iraqis to maintain a state oil company that will, quote, enhance its relationship with OPEC. Enhance its relationship with OPEC? How strange. The government of the United States ordering Iraq to support the very OPEC oil cartel, which is strangling our nation with outrageously high prices for crude. Specifically, the system ordered up by the Bush cartel would keep a lid on Iraqi oil production. So, in other words, they achieved what they wanted in Iraq.
Well, of course they did.
And then the only other thing they want is 11 air bases.
Right, 14, I heard.
14.
And they're being 14, 11, they're yeah. either finished or
and they're being
be
built
soon.
All the time. And you want to know where all that money goes to help the Iraqi people?
Well, it goes to cronies and donors.
Cronies and donors and the bases.
And the bases, yes.
I mean, this is you all of you out there with your corruption and conspiracy, this get your hands on this. This is the real deal. Stolen or
never mind how, documents found from the State Department. Greg Palast, my hero, one of my heroes.
Yeah, he's a brave guy.
He's great. You know what? This is a moment when you need to give us a bunch of money. It really is. Please, please, this is so degrading to have to whine and beg for money, and yet it's so necessary. Don't you dare move off of the space on the dial. And just right now, get it off your conscience. Give us as much money as you can afford. We'll accept any contribution for any amount. We'd like to see an average of $60, and we'd really hope for $12,532. 503-232-8818. That's 503-232-8818 and 1-877-500-5266. I went a little fast. I'll go slower this time. 503-232-8818. 1-877-500-5266. And we are going to talk about the immigration issue, and we are going to open the lines up at 231-8187. We got phone calls stacked up. Go ahead.
So why should you call right now and give us money? Because what Joe just talked about, the discourses that we regularly have on this program and the other news and public affairs programs in the morning here at Cable, you just don't find anywhere else.
Well, you really don't. Even on the good stuff in progressive radio, this kind of exchange does not take place.
You can go onto the internets. You can read the British press and other foreign press, and you can get a better idea of what's actually going on. But the mainstream media just doesn't let these things into the equation. So if you want it, you got to come here to get it. And I think you value it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the sound of our voices right now. So really, you have no excuse. Even if you call us up and pledge $5, you know, every little bit helps. 503-232-8818. Who do we have on the phones, Eduardo? Joe, good morning.
Okay, I just met her. Yeah, about immigration.
Mm-hmm.
I said it on Monday a little while ago, but when we talk about immigration, we have to talk about what's driving immigration.
Okay, I'm going to, Joe, because you're a little hard to understand, I'm going to try to paraphrase you, and if
okay.
I get it wrong, you give me some crap, okay?
Okay, yeah.
When we talk about immigration, we have to talk about what's driving the immigration.
Yeah, and that is the fact that U.S. imperialism, free trade, is destroying the subsistence farming economies in Latin America.
Okay, now what you said, if I understand you correctly, and by the way, I agree with you, the U.S., the current world economic system driven by the U.S. is destroying the subsistence economies of Latin America.
And those people have no option but to come here to try and make a little bit of money.
I think that was clear.
And if we don't make that point when we talk about immigration, then anything else, it seems like, is playing into the hands of a bunch of fascists who want to divide up our desperate people against their desperate people. Then we should be making common ties with them.
So you're saying that it's a method of dividing and conquering the people of the world, in essence.
Yeah, and that we have to make the point that I just made as loud and as long as we can, because that's the only thing that's going to be successful, I think, at countering this whole mess.
I think you're right. I think that the kind of willful presentation of this stuff in terms of ignorant parameters is a strategy of some very evil people. And I also think that there are divisions, interestingly enough, within that evil family about exactly how to proceed with this. On the one hand, you got your Bushies who essentially want to serve big business by creating a downward shift in wages in America by flooding the market with people who are willing and eager to work for what would be much lower wages, well below prevailing wages. And then on the other hand, you got these guys and gals who fear anyone who is different from them in any manner.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe, is there more, or can we...
Well, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
We have to adopt this other strategy, because it's the only one that the fascists don't win on.
Thank you.
And I don't hear it near enough.
I appreciate your call, man.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he raises a couple of very important points. Agriculture in this country has become, over the course of decades, concentrated in the hands of very large agribusiness corporations.
No.
Who farm often automatedly very, very large tracts of land at once and are able to produce, bountiful harvests for not very much money.
In fact, Walmart just now has decided to try out upscaling, and they're going to have organics themselves.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
See, they want to catch all our business.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, American corporate agribusiness has achieved such economies of scale that they can't even make money, and they have to be subsidized by American taxpayer dollars. And they subsidized corn in the United States, for example, is exported to places like Mexico where indigenous farmers can't compete.
Exactly. That was part of what Joe was saying.
Exactly.
And in fact, the other subsidization that's coming down the road, folks, even though we support it to a great extent, is the ethanol move derived from corn and soybeans, mm-hmm. ethanol, which is vegetative. And the other part of that, of course, which I find so very, very, very interesting, is essentially the attempt to convince all of us that agribusiness is really good business for all of us. It is meant, for example, that even in the organics field, we now suddenly find huge corporations getting into organics, shipping stuff vast distances, thereby using lots of oil,
yeah.
and thereby rendering one of the main ethical reasons for going organic and local moot.
Exactly.
Which may be what I should be.
I want to talk for a minute about this Times article that came out yesterday.
What's that?
Okay, I'll quote from the article. In the weeks before the United States-led invasion of Iraq, as the United States and Britain pressed for a second UN resolution condemning Iraq, President Bush's public ultimatum to Saddam Hussein was blunt. Disarm or face war.
And he kept saying, I'm disarming
right,
already.
Right. Yeah, and he invited the inspectors back in.
Yeah, he did.
But to hear the president tell it now, that's really not what happened, even though it is what happened. So the article continues, but behind closed doors, the president was certain that war was inevitable. During a private two-hour meeting in the Oval Office on January 31st, 2003, he made clear to Prime Minister Tony Blair of Britain that he was determined to invade Iraq without the second resolution, or even if international arms inspectors failed to find unconventional weapons, said a confidential memo about the meeting written by Mr. Blair's top foreign policy advisor and reviewed by the New York Times. Now, I got to say, this isn't news. This in January, a British author wrote a book about this.
Yeah.
Although he didn't quote directly from the memo.
Well,
but apparently it isn't news until it's in the American media.
Well, what's even even more a sealing of the deal, and everybody probably knows this who listens to us, but maybe there's some people out there who haven't gotten hip to this. They phonied up the yellow cake uranium.
Yes, they did.
To kind of give credibility to their to making everybody afraid of Saddam.
So, yeah, exactly. But everybody who listens to this show, and everybody who's been paying attention knows that this president wanted to go to war, and that his puppeteers wanted to go to war even before he took office.
So the argument that Greg Palast is making, and I think, by the way, this is important. There are many, many multiple reasons that come together to explain the war in Iraq. There's all kinds of them. There's what I would regard as a petty one, that is the Rumsfeld desire to test out his theories of war. Which sounds creepy, but I think that's a lot of the energy in the administration. That's one. Another one, the larger service to the oil industry, which, after all, Cheney and Bush are the representatives of the oil industry, you know, who faked two elections to get into power. There's that one. There's also the desire to establish a military presence in that region to control the behavior of the various states in that area.
Yeah.
And then there's a kind of overarching fascist desire to keep the American people constantly in a state of fear and war, which 9/11, of course, nicely helped. And in that context, you need a war. So they made a war.
You do. You need a perennial war.
Yeah.
War without end.
War
forever
without
and
end.
Ever, amen.
There's a good movie about, a little bit about this. I heard it was a good movie. I haven't seen it, which is V.
Oh, V for Vendetta?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that's good stuff.
And I also saw Heist, by the way, which is another good movie which deals peripherally but not unreasonably with the functions of the ruling class in the past. 503-232-8818 is the number to call to make a pledge. The other number to call to make a pledge is 1-877-500-5266. Please, make a pledge right now. And I think the thing we need to do is to give some of our callers an opportunity.
Yes, 231-8187. 1 second, I want to finish
I'm
up
sorry.
With this.
Sorry, I'm stepping all over you today.
All right, you always do it. I'm used to it. I got your boot marks all over my back, man.
Is that
you're
what
keeping
they call
me
that?
Down?
You call that a back?
You're keeping me down. All right,
dude.
This Mr. Bush in the memo predicted this. This is where it gets very darkly funny.
Darkly funny.
Mr. Bush predicted that it was, quote, unlikely that there would be internecine warfare between the different religious and ethnic groups in Iraq.
He did.
He did.
Boy, you talk about dumb.
I mean,
but they didn't care. Palast says he didn't. They didn't even care about that. Actually,
no, they didn't. But this is a picture of a man a profound picture of a man with his head so far up his butt, he's wondering why it's dark all the time.
No, he doesn't wonder why he's dark all the time, because he thinks that's the normal way things are.
Yeah.
He was born that way.
The memo also shows, this is from the Times article, that the president and the prime minister acknowledged that no unconventional weapons had been found inside Iraq.
Oh, wait a minute. Stop the music. Stop the music. We have to raise $1,500 in the next... In the next 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's tall order.
Oh, man, come on now, people. Let's get on those phones. Three pledges of $500 each could do it. And remember, you get the chalk. You get the chalk. The chalk is cool, plus other gifts.
All right, one more mention of this memo.
All
right. This is fascinating.
And then I'll give the numbers again.
Okay. The memo also described the president as saying, quote, the U.S. might be able to bring out a defector who could give a public presentation about Saddam's WMD. Now, this is it seems like an aside, something not important amongst all the other discussions listed in this memo. But let's think about this for a minute. The U.S. might be able to bring out a defector who could give a public presentation about Saddam's WMD, yet they continue to insist that they didn't cook the pre-war intelligence.
No, no.
Thank God that the Senate Intelligence Committee decided that they were going to investigate the manipulation of pre-war intelligence. Thank God that they made that promise.
What promise?
The promise that they said after the 2004 election, we're going to investigate the manipulation of pre-war intelligence.
When did they promise? When did that happen?
Oh, wait, they didn't do it, did they?
No, they didn't do that, did they?
Oh, yeah, and I think they even said that the American people were done with the subject, and they weren't going to do it.
Yeah, enough is enough. We're at war now. And I want to hear some comments on immigration, because this is a complex issue, and I want to get some honest opinions out there. But right now, we're going to go to Gordon. Right now, we're going to go to Gordon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Gordon, what's up?
Immigration's a big deal. It's keeping the eye off of the White House. But, you know, you're pretty right about that, Hunt. It's big business that wants that to happen, and so does Fox, because Fox is getting all that cash coming in, the American dollar coming into his economy. So you mean
Vicente Fox of Mexico?
Yeah.
Not Fox of Rupert Murdoch?
No,
Murdoch's already got all the money.
Murdoch's got as much money as Vicente Fox's country does. So, it's big business. It's the corporation, and we need to get them out of the peoplehood. And we need to have them hold them to the fire. I don't understand what's going on with, I'm a terrorist because I want to protect the trees and my environment.
Oh, that's one of their gross manipulations.
But the corporations can go out there and spew poisons out to pollute my children and their children for the futures and future generations.
Yeah.
But they're not terrorists. We are, because we want to sit up in a redwood tree for over a year to protect it from getting cut down, or a big pine down in the burn or whatever. And we're terrorists.
You understand, of course, that the so-called war on terror can be expanded infinitely to include any and all of us. And in fact, people who think this whole situation through carefully understand that this kind of fascist impulse that this present government is exploiting in the United States has no real end. It goes on and on and on until everybody shuts up and or toes the line. And things disappear. And I see you have a child that wishes to speak.
she's just looking at her chickens out in her yard because they're trying to keep them penned up.
Do you set your chickens free?
Yeah, we free range them and we give them organic food. And, you know, and that's another thing with Walmart. What do you think about the Walmart deal? They're going to bring the cost of organic down for the poor, which is okay. I think that's kind of good.
Actually, they're going to create a two-level Walmarts. Is part of their plan.
They're creating a two-level Walmart.
Yeah, they want to scoop up the middle class now.
Well, what's left of it, sure. I mean, yeah.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. I'm kind of drawn. First of all, we've got Walmart going sustainable. They're going to be generating their own wind energy. They're going to be generating their own solar. They're bringing in organics. All they need to do now is what? Give us health care, and then they'll be a good corporation?
They plan to give us health care and banking, too. Listen, the answer to that question, how do we think about this? Follow the money, and then the answer becomes clear. I want to give others the opportunity, and also we have to raise money.
Yes. I wanted to ask you, did you see the CNN thing last week on Saturday and Sunday, the CNN?
No.
No.
We told you ahead of time, or what it was called, about the hypotheticals of peak oil and what's going to happen to us.
Yeah.
No.
No,
you guys
didn't
check that out. It was on.
They're talking about peak
hours.
Oil on CNN.
Yeah.
Well, that's
it was
progress.
It was last weekend. It was 6 hours, 3 hours on Saturday and 3 hours on Sunday. It was hypothetical on what could happen to us. when things shut down and the ag goes down and all that stuff.
Well,
and,
well, don't worry. We're just going to grow fins gills.
It came up way short, but they gave a time period, a hypothetical period of 2009. So if you look at the government and what they're doing, you got to take that and move it forward a couple years.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, and then you have the CEO and chairman of ExxonMobil that came out a year ago that said that by 2007 you won't drive 5 miles to work. So then CNN comes out with this report for 6 hours for 2 days saying 2009. So who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the government, or are we going to believe who runs the government?
Hey!
Ken, I got to start watching TV.
Well, we kind of cut you off at the last, but I think you got to make all your points because we have so much to do today, including I have to tell you that you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. Yeah, actually, I like his calls. At 9, it's our biennial Best Political Books special. We'll let you know about some of the very best books on a wide variety of issues. At 10:30 on stage and studio, topics include Portland Center Stage's production of Crowns. I don't think it's about teeth, but that's where my mind is.
No, it's about the gorgeous hats of African-American women.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool show, actually. It is. And at 11 on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, the guest is former senator and presidential candidate, just follow me, Gary Hart.
All right.
Gary Hart, you know, got set up with this lady and... Anyway, all right, boys.
We want to thank everyone who listened today, everyone who called up and made a pledge today. Thank you for all for contributing to our discussion, and we'll see you next week.
And we will see you next week, and you make your money pledge now.